Needless to say, it's been an absolute roller coaster for these last 18 months, 2 years almost now. For me, I had hit my qualifying standard. It was right at the end of January in 2020. And then in the space of 6 weeks, I had the emotion of, well, I'm probably going to the games, to, well, these games might not happen, to, well, these games aren't happening this year, which was crazy. But now we've kind of done the full circle again, and I'm kind of back in a position where I'm confident that I might get to go to the games and then that the games actually will happen. They put so many protocols in place. So many people are working so hard behind the scenes for Paralympics Ireland and internationally to make sure that the athletes are safe, that the competition will be safe. So yeah, I'm back on terms that the games will go ahead, and I think it's really exciting times now.
Have you qualified for the Paralympics yet?
So no, officially no. There's two stages to qualification for us. And I have done the first stage, which is hitting the qualification standard. And that is essentially just a time that you hit. And once you hit that time, you're deemed fast enough to go. That's the big emotional part to it. That's the thing you work for day in, day out. And now we're into the second stage of the qualification, which is earning an invite. And how you earn an invite is based on your world ranking. So it's all about trying to get as highly ranked in the world as you can. And at the end of June, they're going to send out these invites. But these invites won't go to me specifically, it would go to an Irish male. So we've got a bit of an internal competition then to actually claim one of the invites when we do get them. But I'm in a pretty good position right now because I'm one of only two Irish males to have hit a qualification standard. So that means I'm one of only two who's eligible for an invite. So I'm pretty happy where I'm at, but I just need to keep getting faster and keep improving, same as everyone else.
So it'll be a bit like getting a college place for you, will it, at the end of June to see if post arrives. Okay, but it may go to Paralympics Ireland, and then you've got to try and make that Irish spot in your event, the 400 metres freestyle, yours.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it would be a case of waking up one morning and you'll get a phone call to say, okay, we've got two invites, or we've got three invites, or we've got one invite, and this is who it's going to go to. So they'll decide who it goes to based on percentage away from a bronze medal. So it's all very fair, and it's at the end of the day, it's just about getting as fast as you can.
And are there many Irish Paralympic hopefuls trying to get the 400 metres freestyle place?
So at the moment, we have four guys who would be considered in contention. We have four males who are on the senior panel who are all on the Tokyo long list, as we say. And out of the four, as I said previously, there's two of us who have qualified, but there is definitely four guys in contention.
And is there a limit how many Irish athletes can go to Tokyo for this particular discipline?
No, it won't work like that. The limit will be decided on the amount of invites we get, basically. So you
Okay.
are by how you perform in the world rankings. Simple as.
Right. Okay. Well explained, because I know there's a lot to juggle there.
Yeah, it could be quite a convoluted system, but it's simply put, the faster you are, the better chance you have of going, which is, it's a nice way of looking at it.
And you've got the qualifying standard, which is part one of that two-part qualification process. So that's got to be a certain weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, and that is the big psychological battle, because that's the most tangible goal we have to hit, and that's what you set your targets around when you're training. That is the goal over that 3 or 4 year cycle, to hit that minimum qualification standard. So when you do that, you get that pure moment of elation when you finish and you look around and you see the clock and you see the time, and it's the moment of realizing, I've done it, I'm good enough to go. So now I just need to hope and that we get this invite.
Talk to me about the 400 metres freestyle, your event, Patrick. It's something more than a sprint. We think of sprinters like Mona McSharry, who's qualified for the 100 metres breaststroke. I suspect your event is a bit more about stamina.
Yeah, it's a bit more of an endurance event. So it's considered on the long end of middle distance, I suppose. The race lasts about 5.5 minutes on average, for me anyways. So you're coming right into that point where it's a big physical battle, but it's also a big mental battle. You really need to commit to the front half of the race to make sure you're going out hard enough that you're going to give yourself a chance. But you also need to be there in the last 100 meters, going through the pain, trying to finish out hard. And that's actually what I really think my strength is in the race, finishing hard and coming home. And if I'm neck and neck with someone in that last 100 meters, I'm confident that I've got the ability to beat them.
Where did your love of swimming come from, Patrick?
So I first started swimming when I was quite young. Literally, it was a case of, on the way home from school, mum would be like, do you want to go swimming? And I'd say, yeah. And I just got in the water and I really enjoyed it. I took to it so quickly. My mother actually taught me to swim. She was the one who got me in and just showed me how it works and got me going up and down the pool. And then I was encouraged to join the swimming club by some of my friends when I was about 10 years old in Longford. And I really enjoyed the swimming club. It was just that fun sense of community. It was almost natural just to take up a sport outside school, as my brothers did, as everyone else was doing at that stage. And I just really enjoyed it, and I just haven't looked back since.
And where is home for you, Patrick? Because I know Longford proudly claims you as one of theirs. I've read articles from the Longford Leader. You went to school in Longford. You're also part of a very well-known Ross's Point family in Sligo. Your dad, Kevin, was County Sligo Golf Club captain in recent years. So when you think of home, and this might be an unfair question to ask you, where is home for you?
Yeah, it's a funny question. I've answered this a lot of different ways over the last couple of years. You know, when I think of home, I think of Sligo. I know that for sure. I think of Ross's Point. But I'm definitely proud of Longford, and I'm proud that I went to school in Longford, and Longford Swimming Club was my first swimming club. So when I was 18, my family moved to Sligo full-time. But before that, we had spent every summer, every holiday, every weekend in Sligo. So it wasn't really that big a change to make the official move. But I would consider myself a bit of a mix. I'm a Longford Sligo man if one exists.
Okay. Were you ever a sea swimmer?
No, it never was too much for me. I did the odd week in August. You know, you'll get in with the family over summer when it's nice and warm, but no, it's too cold for me. I like the pools.
Well, this is turning out to be a very special Olympic Paralympic year for the Northwest, because we've had two Sligo qualifiers already for the Summer Olympics in Mona McSharry in the pool and Christopher O'Donnell on the track. And I know that there's a paracyclist from Hazelwood, Martin Gordon, is trying to join you on the Team Ireland Paralympic plane as well. Where has this sudden Olympic contention run come from, do you think?
It's a tough one to say. I think for so many athletes, it's always just been, it's always your dream when you start a sport that is in the Olympics or Paralympics. It's what you always work towards. So maybe the extra year has really given people the opportunity to think, well, no, I've got an extra year now. I can really work for this. Maybe the pandemic has given people a bit of clarity that it's their time, that they want to make the extra step and make the run for the games. I know when you look at like athletes like Mona and you see how much she's improved over the last year, that she has gone from being someone who is hoping to make the games to now she could be really competitive at the games, and she's really turned into an absolute world-class athlete. So maybe it's just this extra year has given these people such an opportunity to go there and show that they can do it.
How much training do you do this weather? How, you know, in terms of your, do you regard yourself as a full-time athlete?
Yeah, so I actually finished college last week, so I'm officially a full-time athlete, which is a nice thing to be able to say. Yeah, we're in the pool every day. A lot of our sessions are 2.5 hours at the moment, which is long enough. With the restrictions and stuff around training, you can be sometimes get a bit limited pool hours, but they've actually been really good that we've been able to get these 2.5 hour swim sessions in. And then you're in the gym 3 times a week on top of that, so it is quite grueling. You're 15 plus hours a week of training. And then the thing is, with being an athlete, it's more so than just the time you spent in the pool or in the gym. You have to be thinking about your meals, you have to be thinking about your sleep. You know, there's a million and one things to think about outside the pool as well.
And was this a long-term target for you, Patrick? I mean, you're no stranger to representing Ireland in an international competition. We've seen your name on European Ireland teams and other international regattas and events over the years. But was Tokyo something you had kind of on the back of the bedroom door at home? This is what I'm aiming for.
Yeah, I think it's always been the ultimate goal. It's funny, like going to Europeans, going to World Champs, they're amazing competitions, and it's, you know, every time if you get selected for one of them, it's always such a huge achievement, and you're so proud of yourself. But there's something different about the games. There's like a magical aura about them, and there's a reason why they're world renowned, and it's just such a special achievement for any athlete. So yeah, Tokyo has always been the one that I've wanted more than anything else.
And swimming always feels like a very solitary, individual sport. But, you know, when it comes to Europeans, World Championships, and especially Paralympic Games, there is a pretty vibrant team element to it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think, obviously, when you're swimming, you're not exactly talking because your head's in the water. But We're still in the pool with the same people every day going through that training process. You wouldn't be able to do it by yourself. You have to do it as part of a team. And not, I don't even just mean the other athletes that you're in the pool with. I mean your coaches, your support staff, everything. It's, you know, that race is a product of 10, 15, 20 people. It's not just a product of me. So I'm, yeah, it is 100% an individual sport, but it's also a team sport.
Well, finally, it sounds to me you've got a nervy 6-7 weeks ahead of you while you wait for the final word from Paralympics Ireland, one way or the other, that you've qualified. You've got the time. Now you need the invite. Are you comfortable dealing with that uncertainty factor over the next few weeks? Does that sit reasonably okay with you?
Obviously, the closer we get, the more nervy it will get. But it's like, as I said before, it doesn't really change that much in that the essence of it stays the same as it's been since I was 12. You get faster, you've got a better chance of going. You know, it sounds very convoluted when you talk about these invites and world rankings, but I can't control what the other guys do. All I control is what I do, and I know that me getting faster is a good thing. We've got a couple of competitions coming up that will be big focus to try and improve my times and improve my world rankings. So I'll be focusing on them. I won't be focusing on the outcome.
Are there any other big events coming up for you between now and Tokyo?
Yes, so we're actually off to Europeans next week, and they're going to be on in Madeira in Portugal. So they'll be a big focus. And then come mid to late June, there will be a second round of Irish trials going on, hopefully. That will be another big focus for us.
Patrick, perfect. We'll stop there.
Perfect. We'll stop there.
Great.